Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So far from the text. In Christ Jesus, the one foundation upon whom our church is built, dear fellow redeemed. Good news. In fact, great news. A new Christian congregation has been formed. The Church of Jesus Christ got into Corinth. But bad news. Corinth got into the church. When Paul was in Ephesus on his third missionary journey, some members from the congregation in Corinth went to visit him and report to him and tell him what was happening in the congregation. And it was a troubling, troubling report. There are at least seven major problems. The first, the congregation was in divisions. There was factionalism going on. Some members said, "We're of Paul." Others said, "We're followers of Apollos." Others said, "No, no, we follow Peter." Others said, "We follow Jesus." Secondly, church discipline was being neglected. One of the members was guilty of incest, and the congregation didn't do anything about it. They didn't try to lead him to repentance. Third problem, one member was bringing a lawsuit against another member. There's no agape love within the congregation. A fourth problem, the immorality of the city of Corinth had entrapped some of the members in that congregation. A fifth problem, the observance of the Lord's Supper was fine, but then afterwards they had an agape meal, a fellowship meal, and at times some of the members got drunk at the meals, and some members went home hungry. They didn't share the food with some. A sixth problem, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were being misused. They're elevating the gifts rather than the giver of the Holy Spirit or the message that those gifts proclaimed. And a seventh problem, there were some false teachings regarding the denial of the resurrection of the dead, and that was being tolerated. So, would you like to be a pastor called to serve that congregation? Well, these members were sent by the congregation elders to come to the Apostle Paul and to seek his spiritual counsel, biblical advice concerning these matters. And so Paul sat down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and wrote this first letter to the Corinthians. It's a disciplinary letter, as we could tell by our text that we read from chapter 3, where Paul calls these members carnal, which means worldly-minded, and babes in Christ, babies in Christ, in other words, immature. Paul deals firmly, yet lovingly with these members as he leads them to see what is God's will, what does God's word say about those seven major problems and situations in that congregation. Our sermon text this morning centers in and focuses in on that first major problem, which was the problem of divisions within the congregation. And it's not something that just happens now. It's been happening since the beginning of Christian churches, where one has a favorite pastor, doesn't want to listen to another one. In this case, there was three of them that were involved. The Apostle Paul had founded the congregation through Jesus, of course. And then after he left on his missionary journey for 18 months, a man named Apollos came, and he began to preach the gospel message there, like Paul did. And there were some that probably moved into that congregation there who also knew Peter. And so there are three pastors involved in this group. It's quite apparent this Christian congregation didn't have a real good understanding of the public ministry of Jesus. It was more important to them that their masters, that their ministers impressed them with their personality, with their abilities, with their gifts, with their preaching prowess, rather than with a simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul, in this section, sets out to correct their misconception of the public ministry. The Apostle Paul makes plain what the public ministry is all about. It's not the man. It's the message. It's not Paul's ministry. It's not Apollos' ministry. It's not Peter's ministry. It's the Lord's. And so the first point in our text this morning is this. We see the congregation in Corinth had an immature concept of the public ministry. Before explaining what the public ministry is all about, the Apostle Paul displays to them their spiritual immaturity. He says their factionalism proves that they didn't understand. The public ministry is not about a man. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. Those original converts of the Apostle Paul 7 years earlier, other converts probably of the pastor Apollos, and others who possibly had moved from Judea into the area of Corinth that had run into Peter, they weren't getting together in unity, in oneness that a Christian congregation needs. Well, there was Apollos. We're told he was a very powerful speaker. He was an Alexandrian from Egypt, dynamic speaker, powerful in the word of God. And those who heard him said, "We follow Apollos." And then there's Peter. Those that knew Peter probably thought, well, he's the original disciple. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. So we're followers of Peter. And then, of course, there was Paul, who founded the congregation, who was the beginning of the congregation. But when he came into Corinth, he said this, "I came with fear and trembling, in weakness, not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, not with persuasive words of human philosophy, but the simple message of Christ and him crucified." He was nowhere near as impressive as Apollos. But there were still some who followed and said, "We're of Paul." Now, none of these three men taught anything differently than the other. Nor did any of them try to upstage or usurp the power, the honor, the authority of each other. Apollos worked in harmony with the Apostle Paul after Paul left for his missionary journey. Peter was in Jerusalem, who helped call the Apostle Paul to go on his missionary journeys to be missionary on his own behalf. It was the members who were acting childish, immature, in their cheering on, "Rah, rah, rah, we want Paul. We want Apollos." And following their individual pastors, rather than rejoicing in the gospel message. So Paul calls them carnal, worldly-minded. He calls them babies in Christ, immature. He says, "You can only drink milk, the milk of the word. You're not growing up enough. You're not mature enough spiritually to be able to eat the solid food, the meat of the gospel message of salvation. That's quite a reprimand. He's not talking about a childlike faith here. He's talking about being weak and immature in your faith. Like little babies, Paul had to still prepare a spiritual meal of just simple milk, the simple message, rather than the meat, the solid food of God's word. This is a very dangerous thing when Christians begin to act spiritually immature, childish spiritually in the Christian life. It's dangerous when they give place to their own ideas, their own wills, their own lusts, their own desires, human thoughts, so that they cannot become one or remain one within a Christian congregation with their brothers and their sisters. Instead, they split into factions, into divisions, simply because of their personal preferences, because of their opinions, because of their judgments, or possibly because of their hurt feelings. We're not talking about doctrinal differences here. So Paul goes on in verses 5 to 9 of our sermon text and sets before these members, these babes in Christ, how they should correctly judge their pastors. Not by what they look like, not by their personality, not by their dynamic preaching style or non-preaching style, but he says that to judge their ministers as followers of fellow workers with God. We read, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one?" The word minister literally means a table waiter, an errand boy, a servant. Ministers are God's servants, God's errand boys. They belong to him, not to the members. Even as the members are not the pastor's sheep, members are the Lord's sheep. Pastors are under shepherds of the good shepherd who serve the good shepherd, and so doing, they serve the good shepherd's sheep as well. Paul also says that pastors are earthen vessels. They're just jars of clay, human beings through whom God gets his purpose done by getting the word out. And because each pastor is different, their approach is different, their way of speaking and preaching is different, and there's different ways in which they accomplish God's work. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered." Paul and Apollos were on the same page. They worked in love and harmony together with one another. How sad the love and harmony was being adversely affected by the feelings and the emotions of the members. But that's all Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Apollos could do. Plant and water. No pastor, no teacher of the word of God can make the word grow. And so Paul writes, "But God gave the increase." God, the Holy Spirit, made the word of God grow in the hearts of those people. God created faith in the hearts of those people. It's the Holy Spirit that leads a congregation to grow both in numbers and in understanding spiritually. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the success in the church, that God receives all honor, praise, and glory. Not Paul, not Apollos, not Peter, not any human being. A Christian commentator wrote, "No minister of the Lord has any basis for pride or conceit, nor should he be made the occasion for factions and strife." And so Paul tells this congregation, pastors and ministers are laborers with God. But you're God's field. You're God's building. And that leads us to this last point of the Apostle Paul. Faithful ministers are builders upon the one foundation, the only foundation, Jesus Christ. Read verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. By God's grace, the Apostle Paul was chosen to be the one to lay the foundation of the congregation. He was the one who was there when it was organized. Then others built upon it. But the foundation wasn't Paul or Apollos or Peter. The foundation of the congregation there was Jesus Christ and his word. So very sad today when we see Christian churches, Christian denominations have their foundation, the basis for their church, placed upon their evangelist or their traditions or their church decrees or their church doctrines or their philosophies or their reason. No other foundation can last. No other foundation can stand. No other foundation can stand in the attacks of Satan or stand in the face of judgment day except the foundation of Jesus Christ and his word. He came into this world to be our substitute. He took our place. He lived that humbly obedient, perfectly obedient life in thought, word, and deed, which we could not do. Kept the law perfectly in every way. And then he took our place and was damned for us upon the cross to pay for my guilt and my punishment and your punishment so that we could stand before his heavenly Father, righteous in his sight. Then he rose from the dead, taking away death's sting and saying, because I live, you will live also. And his everlasting life is now yours forever. No other foundation can stand but Jesus Christ and his word. So let's apply these words just briefly to us. Have you been spiritually immature at times? Have you been spiritually childish in your faith life, in your thoughts, in your actions? Have you been immature and childish letting Corinth get into us with our lusts, our desires, our opinions, our ideas, the way we want things going, the way we want things going? Have we been acting immature and childish toward each other? Pastor to member, member to pastor, members to members, parents to children, husbands to wives. Have we been guilty of trying to build on other foundations? Our money, our jobs, our family. If we're honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that, yeah, we have at times done that. What can we do? We need to go to that one foundation upon whom we can rest, take all of our sins and lay that upon Jesus Christ. Repent of our sins, acknowledge those sins and put them on Jesus. And then drink in that nourishing, life-giving milk of the Word. And as we grow in the spiritual understanding, we can then eat that solid food, that meaty word of God that keeps us and passes all human understanding. And so we pray that God continue to keep alive that childlike faith in the hearts and minds of you, his sheep here, at peace through Christ. As you're fed the word of God, my pastors and teachers, whoever they may be, so that we may continue to grow up spiritually as members in his body, united in Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.